You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Genesis 26, if you have your Bibles. That's where we're going to start out. Of course, you know, sometimes it takes me a long time to get there once we start. But that's because I've got some other things to say, you know, while I'm leading up to that. You know, thank God for the Word. I just love the Word. And love preaching the Word. Love studying the Word. Love reading the Word. I mean, I never tire of reading the Word. I never tire of just it coming alive to me and speaking to me in my time of need. And it always amazes me, you know, I'm just something I've read 100 times over and over and over. But at that particular time, that just when I need it, you know, it's something will just jump at me, and I think, man, where did that come from? It was there all the time, but it just jumped. Some simple little phrase, some simple little word, some simple little truth. Maybe I'd taught a whole series on something out of that verse, but I was emphasizing one part of it and not the other part. So what are you pointing at? Take those off. Okay. Reflect the light. That's what we're supposed to do, is reflect the light. Isn't that right? We're supposed to be moons that reflect the sun, and we're supposed to be, or, you know, planets that surround the sun. We're satellites forever. That was Adam's problem. He tried to be a noun. He was just an adjective. We are supposed to complement Jesus and reflect Jesus. We're not Jesus. Hallelujah. I can preach on anything anyway. My glasses reflected the light. That's the way it's supposed to be. Genesis 26, it's a fascinating chapter. I love this chapter because it's a chapter of victory. It's a chapter of failure. It's a chapter of winning and then losing, but winning again and not quitting, consistency, keeping your faith in God. I mean, in this chapter, there was a famine in the land, and the Bible tells us that Isaac sowed in the famine and reaped 100-fold. Woo-hoo! Man, that's against all odds. That's against all agricultural odds. That's against all the mathematical odds. I mean, and yet he was a man who was, he was a man of God. Isaac was a man of God. And I trust you are a man of God and woman of God. So, see, it doesn't matter about anything else. If you're a man of God and a woman of God, you're under different rules. You're under a different economy, as it were. And, you know, and not to say that if you're a Christian, a believer, you don't have failures, you don't have defeats, you don't lose from time to time, but you win a whole lot more than you lose, amen? And you overcome a whole lot more than you are defeated, as it were. And so here was a famine that Isaac obviously went through. Yeah, that's not what I'm teaching on per se, but he went through the famine and come out and sowed in the famine and reaped 100-fold. Sometimes your best day is coming. It's just around the corner. I mean, there might be a storm happening right now, but I tell you, there is victory on the horizon. And we've got to learn to not let disappointment determine our destiny, to not let challenges, not let defeat, as it were, not let opposition, not let circumstances determine our attitude, not determine our destiny, not determine our direction, not determine our actions. We're going to act on the Word. See, we're not a people who react to situations. We're a people who act on the Word. We don't change what we do because of situations. We continually just act on the Word. Let's don't have knee-jerk reactions to things. Let's just continually act on the Word. Fear is a knee-jerk reaction. You know what I'm saying when I say that? It just comes. We don't think about it. It just happens. Well, fear does come, but don't act on it. Fear is a feeling. It's an emotion. Despair can come. It's like a cloud that rolls in. Don't take it. Don't yield to it. Depression sometimes has to be battled and fought against. But don't you yield to it. Don't you give in to it. You fight it tooth and nail. Because the outcome of those things, if you yield to them, are not good. And decisions that you and I make lead to destinations. Roads we take us to certain cities that you and I do not want to go to. And so you see, in Isaac's life, Isaac didn't change who he was. He didn't change what he did. He didn't let famine change what he did. He just kept going. He kept moving. He didn't let defeat stop him. He didn't let failure stop him. In fact, in this this account, the 26th chapter of Genesis, it tells us that, look at the 12th verse. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. That's what I just said. And the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Woohoo! For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants.
So the Philistines envied him. Isn't that amazing? You'd think they'd be happy about it. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it's amazing. I know it's hard for us to even think along these lines that happened back then, that when people make money, people that don't have the money want the people that the money made. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Now, the Philistines stopped up the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them in with earth. Isn't that interesting? Because they didn't even want them to prosper. They'd done all that work, and they stopped them from working. It's like you had oil somewhere, and you stopped up oil wells, and you couldn't dig them, and you couldn't get your own oil, and you had to buy it from somewhere else. Just a thought. You had it. It was there. You know, it was available, but, you know, they stopped them up, and they wouldn't let you dig there, you know, and made you buy it somewhere. But anyway, so the Philistines, they were mad. They didn't like rich people. They didn't like people making money. You know, they didn't like people that worked hard. They wouldn't like people that God blessed. Are you with me? Felt like they were entitled to it, and they wanted to part of it without having to do what God said to do, without believing God, without trusting God, without doing the work that Isaac did. Hadn't changed. Are you with me? We're living in an age that you can read off the pages of the Bible. Real simple. But I digress. That's not what I'm teaching on. So 16th verse says, "And Abimelech said to Isaac, Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Wow. "Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father." I love that. Now, water represented prosperity. Let me tell you something. When you had thousands and thousands of herds, I mean, Isaac easily had thousands of servants, okay? Easily had tens of thousands of sheep and herds and cattle. He was very rich in gold, cattle, and silver. Abraham, he had more than his daddy had, and his daddy, you know, had probably close to 2,000 servants. He had 318 trained servants born in his house, trained for war. And they had mamas and daddies and brothers and sisters and probably kids. So no telling how many, conservatively, he had a couple thousand people that followed him around. I mean, pharaohs were afraid of Abraham when he came in because he had such a troop of people with him. They made covenants and pacts with him so that they wouldn't fight them. Because, I mean, we think of Abraham in a putt tent with Sarah, but that wasn't the case. You just do the math. You go back and look at it. And you can't come up with those figures. How do you have 318 men of war, trained for war is what it says, born in his house, and they were his servants. Well, they had families and they had parents. You just do the math. That's a lot of people. And so Isaac comes along. He's more blessed than Abraham was. Actually, had more than his daddy did. And he was too great for Abimelech. Just too much, man. You too much. You too blessed. Get away from us. We can't handle this. You're way too blessed. Go away from us. You are much mightier than we are. And so Isaac left there, and he began to redig the wells. Prosperity, water for flocks, water for... I mean, this represented prosperity, self-sufficiency. It represented a lot. I mean, come on. But it was there. It was untapped resources. It's kind of like... in our life, you know, God's blessed us, but it's untapped. We haven't done the digging. We haven't been digging. It's there. We just haven't been digging. You got wells of prosperity. You got wells of riches. You got wells of joy. You got wells of peace. You got wells of comfort and strength and faith. Just waiting for you to dig in there and get it. It's there. It's been covered up. The devil likes to keep it covered up. And he doesn't want you to get to it. And he'll fill in that well. Are you with me? If you let him. But Isaac dug again the wells which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called them by the names which his father had called them. I like that. And also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. Man, I've ministered along these lines before some of these scriptures. I got some scriptures I want to get to I hadn't preached on, but... this connects. It just goes together so well. You know, the battles take place in the valleys of life. You may be going through a valley. I don't know. You know, we all go through highs and lows in life. I wished it was a constant there, but it's not. Emotions are tricky things, you know. Moods are funny. They come and they go, mostly go. And you have to get to where you don't pay attention to them. You have to get to where you just get up and do the right thing. You get up and obey God and serve God and love God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's what we need to do. It pays to serve God. It pays to be moral. It pays to be of integrity. It pays to be faithful. It pays to tell the truth and not lie. Are you with me? It pays to read your Bible and serve God and pray. It pays to stand on a word. It pays to confess the word. You may be going through a trial. It'll pass. It'll pass. The word works. God cannot lie and he will not lie. And he will come through. He always comes through. Even if you're in the valley. In the valley. That's what blows me away. Some of the greatest victories in the Bible took place in the valley. That's where battles, that's where they came off the mountains, in the valley. That's where they fought. But that's also where you got your greatest battles and greatest victories and some of the greatest stories we read about in the Word of God. And in your valley, as it were, the valley that you may be in, I don't know what you're going through. It may be depression. It may be finances. It may be marriage. It may be health. It could be anything. But whatever that valley is, you've got a couple of choices. You got a couple of choices. You can give up the victory, or you can dig up the victory. Are you with me? And Isaac and his servants decided they'd just dig it up. They weren't going to give up. They're going to dig up. Because God has made provision in every place in your life. Even in the valley, there's provision. I don't believe he made the valley in the sense that he put you in the trial and the test, but he definitely gave you a way to get out of that valley. He gave you what you needed to make it through that valley. That water's there. You're just going to have to dig to get it. You got to dig in, and you got to dig in, and you got to dig in, and sometimes you got to dig deep. But if you'll dig deep enough, you'll get to it. It's there. It's there. Don't give up in the valley. Don't give up the victory. Dig up the victory. Amen. And so he did. They did just that. It says also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. Now notice this next verse, 20th verse. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, which means quarreled. They quarreled, and that's, you know, names meant something. When you'd name a mountain, or you'd name a city, or you'd name this place, it had some significance. You know, in Indians, they would name their kids after, you know, battles, or if they saw a hawk fly over, they'd call them, you know, Flying Hawk or whatever. You know, there was significance there. And names in the Bible meant something. Jabez, you know, his parents named him, his mother named him Jabez because she bore him in sorrow, but he prayed that God wouldn't allow that to happen because names were important. It was important. You know, you see names all through the Bible. People name people for good reason. Jesus, he'll save his people from their sin. Name him Jesus. It means Savior, Deliverer. And so they named this place Esek because of quarrel. And Isaac just gave it up. It's interesting. Isaac's faith was in God. He wasn't concerned about this. It's interesting when you look at this. But then in the scope of it, make it practical, put it in our lives. You have this huge victory, okay? You reap 100-fold in famine. Awesome victory. Well, you think, well, hey, I'm never going to have another battle the rest of my life. Well, no, the Bible doesn't teach that. Well, you get in the valley, pretty tough, and you dig up water. Got a victory. Woo! Awesome victory. And then you lose it. Devil comes to steal that. You'd think you'd come to a point where, you know, that'd just be enough. I'm done. That's it. I'm tired of fighting. Which really is about the most ridiculous thing you can say when you think it through. I hear people say that. Well, you know, Pastor, I just got tired of believing God. Okay, so now you just start doubting him. Is that what we're saying? Well, you know, I was in the battle, and it just got so tough, and it got so rough. And I understand pain. I understand. Don't get me wrong. I understand the continual, constant battling that goes on in some long-term, maybe, problems. But don't ever, ever give up on God. He is your only hope. He is your only way out of this mess. You can never stop believing. You can't come to a point where it says, well, I've just been through so much now. What? Shoot me. That's what you're saying. It's over, Rover. I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying, you know, when you do that, you have just given up all hope. You've given up all victory. You've given up all. You've tied God's hands where he can do nothing. And you're saying, in essence, I have believed God all this time. Now I no longer believe him. Now we don't realize we're saying that. I'm tired of believing. I'm tired of believing. So now I'm going to doubt? What? Are you with me? You tracking with me on this? It's a serious thing, and yet it's funny in one sense, because that's what we're saying. Well, you know, dug up that water and got in that valley, got my victory. And man, here, devil comes, takes away from me. That stuff just doesn't work. I've tried to do the right thing. I went to church, and look what happened. I tried to serve God. I stood on the word. I did what the preacher said. You know, I said all the right things and everything, you know, and it didn't work. And I lost it. I lost everything. Well, hey, you're still alive, aren't you? You can still get it back. Hello? It's not over. God's still on the throne. His word's still true. Let me tell you what Isaac did, and this is why he was such a blessed man. You don't hear a lot about Isaac, you know, but if you go through, you follow Isaac, he is a very consistent man. Isaac didn't get in a lot of trouble like Abraham did. He didn't get in a lot of trouble like Jacob did. He wasn't all over the map in his wanderings and everything. He was just a steady, good family man, and he lived longer than all the rest of them. Did you know that? He lived longer than his daddy. He lived a lot longer than Jacob. Abraham lived 175 years. Isaac lived 180. Jacob only lived 147. Jacob was a scoundrel. But he finally got right. Are you with me? So it says here, they called the name of the well Esek because they quarreled with him. You know what they did, 21st verse? Then they dug another well. Because that's what you do. See, if you lose, and all of a sudden what you gained you lost, what do? You go back again. You dig another one. Then they dug another well. Now listen to this. And they quarreled over that one also, so they called its name Sitna. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, come on. Isn't this enough? I mean, we tried this thing twice. We got a little victory. Maybe we got a healing. Then that sickness came back on us. Or maybe we got some financial prosperity and then we lost it all. Or, God forbid, we got married once or twice. Hello. And then we just decided all the women are no good. Or all those men are no good. Got to catch everybody here, okay? You know, that faith stuff. That faith stuff. You know, I remember, I believe God. Yeah, I believe God and got something, but I lost it. Well, believe God again. Have you ever done anything in life where it didn't work out? Did you just quit? Did you just get back up and go? You went again, didn't you? Anybody get up on that horse the first time they rode it? Anybody get up on that bicycle or play that video game? Let's make it relative. The first time? Worked the first? No, it didn't work the first time. You keep falling. You keep, you know, you just get back up. You get back up. You get back up. You get back. And God, serving God's no different. Getting the victory is no different. Prospering is no different. Healing is no different. Hey, sometimes it's easy. I don't understand. Sometimes it's real fast. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it looks like you lost it, but you never quit. You never give up. You never quit believing. Lose a well, go dig another one. Lose a victory, go dig up another victory. Amen? Two times in a row, now listen, two times in a row, they worked hard. Listen, they believed God. They stood on the word. They came to church. They tithed. And they lost this. See, fear keeps you. This fear of continually being disappointed, this fear of continually failing, this continual cycle, here we go again. You know, the last church I went to, this here I am in this church, oh my God, here it happens again. I'm just done. I'm quit. I'm through serving God. I'm through, hello, marriage. See how despair can come in, disappointment come in. But the Bible addresses it. There's lots of examples of people that have won and lost and won and lost. But you know what? They were consistently, they stayed with it. They got back up. They got on that horse and they rode it again. They didn't let fear destroy them. They didn't let circumstance destroy them. They didn't let experiences dictate their future. That's interesting because we all got experiences. Sometimes people get out of ministry, you know, because they have a bad deal happen to them in ministry. Well, it happens to everybody. There's no job you're ever going to work on. You don't have bad experiences, and ministry is no different. Bad experiences in churches. I mean, the list is endless and endless and endless. It just goes on and on and on. But see, the Bible teaches, hang in there and stay with the stuff. Believe God. Don't let fear dictate your life. Don't let failure dictate your life. Let God's word dictate your life and live for the victory. So, second time, 21st verse. And they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also, so he called his name Sitna, two in a row, now they've lost. 22nd verse, and he moved from there, and he dug another well, three times a charm. And we've heard that say three times a charm. But how about this persistence? How about this bulldog tenacity? How about this never giving up on what God says? How about this knowing without a shadow of a doubt if they keep doing the right thing, God's going to bless them, and it doesn't matter how many times they fail, it doesn't matter how many times the devil hits them, sucker punches them, knocks their feet out from under them, they're going to keep serving God because God's word is true, and God loves me, and God's for me, and he'll come through. He always comes through. How about that, huh? I like that. That's what a Christian should do. That's what a believer should do. You don't count your failures, you count your victories. You don't count your losses, you count your gains. And you don't look to your past, you look to your future. And you look to your God, and you look to his word. And you lock in, and you hone in, you set your sail, you set your rudder, and you go that direction. That's what Isaac did. That's what Isaac did over and over and over in his life. And he won. You say, well, he failed a couple times here. No, he won. Not how you begin, it's how you end. It's not the lulls. No, it's not the lulls. It's not the valleys. No, it's the victories. It's the victors that keep us going. Hallelujah. And we go from victory to victory. I love it. He moved from there and he dug another well, 22nd verse, and they did not quarrel over that one. And so he named its name Rehoboth because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us. I like that. He made room. And we shall be fruitful in the land. And then he began to really prosper. I mean, the Lord spoke to him and appeared to him after that. You know why? Because he didn't quit. He did not quit. He built an altar. In fact, if you go on, it says, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. See, that's what he did. He stayed in faith. He did not fear. He knew God was with him. He said, I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. He pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. They dug another one. Right there in honor of God. I love that. Just kept digging wells. Just kept digging them. They lost a couple and didn't stop them. They're well diggers. That's what they do, is dig up the victory. Victory is what we dig up. We lose a couple of them, we just keep digging. That's what we do. Man, you got to stay with the stuff, amen? Turn to 1 Chronicles. You're going to love this. 1 Chronicles 13. I was thinking about this in light of what Isaac did. And, of course, you can make it practical. You can think of your own life. And it may be marriage. It may be trying to make your marriage work and you're having trouble. Don't give up. Just keep getting back up. Love your wife. Love your husband. Could be finances. You might have failed. I don't know. Could be ministry. You know, the list is endless of things that we just kind of get gun shy, as it were. You know, where we don't, you know, we hear the gun and we run back. We run, you know. You know, a horse can be gun shy. You can run back to the barn, you shoot the gun, and a dog be gun shy. I've got a dog that's thunder shy. Bella. Bella's our dog, and Bella, if it's thundering and lightning out there, Bella just follows us around with her ears down, her tail down, and, you know, just kind of shaking. She doesn't like the thunder, and I'm rebuking that fear in the name of Jesus. That is not God. That's miserable. It's paralyzing stuff, fear is. But sometimes you get that way because you failed and it hasn't worked, and you back off. And you know what? You don't experience the things of God because something hadn't worked, because you struggled, because you failed, because it didn't turn out exactly the way you wanted it. The word's still the same. The promise is still the same. God's still the same. God hadn't moved. We have. Stir up your faith. Shake yourself. Slap yourself. Amen? Get in the Word. Hold up the Word. Confess the Word. Speak the Word. Turn the TV off. Do something. Do what you got to do. This is your life we're talking about. I'm not against TV. I'm just saying sometimes if you're watching TV, more TV than you are reading the Word and praying and seeking God, maybe you ought to think that thing through. Hello? I hit a chord there. Sometimes we have a right heart. We're trying to do the right thing, but you know we've done it wrong. That can happen too. We're sincere, but we hadn't really followed the instruction, and so it falls through, and so we give up. And we thought, well, man, my heart was right. I want to do the right thing. Yeah, but you know you weren't well informed. Maybe you went about it wrong. That can happen too. That wasn't God's fault. That wasn't even the devil's fault. We just didn't follow the instructions. You know, that can happen. We can have a good heart, and yet, because we didn't know, we were ignorant of maybe of God's promises or ignorant of principles, that we violated those principles, and then we failed, and then we blame God. And we say, well, that's, man, I'm done with that. You out there? That can happen. I've had that happen. I've shot myself in the foot lots of times. Just didn't know, you know, didn't know what the word said. And then I found out, oh, wow, that's where I did. Oh, man, that's what I should have done. God told me how to do it. I just didn't know. I was, you know, or maybe I was taught wrong, or I wasn't listening, or I wasn't studying, or I wasn't digging. You know, I wasn't digging. That water was there. I just wasn't digging deep enough. Well, this is a classic case of that. Here's David, man of God. I mean, God's man. Friend of God. I mean, he was a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible says about David. One of the greatest kings that ever existed. I mean, you say King David, everybody knows about King David. Lost and saved people know about King David. He's in all kinds of stories. David and Goliath, and then his kingdom and his rule. He was a warrior king. I mean, he just beat up on everybody all around him. He won every battle. I mean, just battle after battle. He was an amazing guy. Loved God, wrote psalms, and worshiped God, and had a great heart. Well, he decided, hey, you know, guys, we need to go get the ark, and we need to bring it in to Jerusalem. And so, great thing, wonderful thing to do that. 13th chapter, 1 Chronicles. Y'all found it? He got the assembly together, consulted with all the people, and he said, hey, we're going to go get the ark. Third verse, and let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. So he gathered all the people. He went out there to get the ark. And seventh verse, so they carried the ark of God on a new cart. Well, first of all, that wasn't the way he's supposed to carry the ark. Sounded good. David had a good heart. He's wanting to do the right thing. But, you know, he wasn't doing it God's way. He did it his way. And it says he carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahio. Say that 10 times real fast. Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Well, they weren't Levites. They weren't supposed to be doing that. And then David and all the Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps and stringed instruments, tambourines, cymbals, trumpets. That was good. He got that part right. And when they came to Kedon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Now, that sounds real harsh, and honestly, I think if you really dug into the Hebrew and look at that, I don't know that God personally killed him. He was killed because he disobeyed the commands on what they were supposed to do with the ark. No one should touch that ark. They couldn't touch that ark because it was a holy thing. No one could touch it but the Levites and the priest. And they had no business putting the ark on a cart. It wasn't supposed to be carried that way. They had strict, specific commands in the Scripture on how they're supposed to handle the things of God. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we mishandle the things of God to our detriment, to our loss, to our pain. And you know what we do? We get mad at God, we walk away, and we say, that's it, I'm done, I'm doing that. And you know what? We're the ones that messed up. Not every case. I know some cases, just the devil. Some cases, the devil just takes stuff. But sometimes we're not obeying the rules. Are you out there? We're in church, but we're not really doing church right, you know. We're there, and we're fellowship, but we're not really fellowshipping right. You know, we're not really praying for each other. We're not, you know, backbiting, gossiping, all that. And then all of a sudden, we have a church split or something, you know. We think, man, that's it. I'm done with church. Well, we're the ones that caused it to happen. Can't blame God for that. Church is a good thing. Bringing the ark to Jerusalem was a great thing. Are you with me? David's desire to do it was a good thing. But he didn't do it right. He didn't do it right. Didn't follow the rules, as it were. And so, here's what happened. It's interesting. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry. And because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, therefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? Wow. So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had, because the ark was there, the presence of God was there, the power of God was there. But see, David was afraid with the wrong kind of fear of God, and for the wrong reason. And fear will always keep you from moving into the presence of God. It'll keep you moving into the victory. You lose one well, you won't dig another one, unless you're Isaac. If you're Isaac, you'll dig another well, and you'll get the victory. And really, here's what happened. David did get right, thank God. But David was afraid of God because of what happened, because Uzzah died. But see, David is the one that messed up. When they hauled that ark in there, they weren't supposed to haul it that way. If anything, the Bible's very plain and very, very definite, detailed about it was the Ark of the Covenant. They had an instruction manual. They pulled the wrong lever. Hello. Are you going to blame the maker for that? It's in the manual. Did you not read the manual? He told them exactly how it's supposed to be. It was made in a certain way to be hauled a certain way. It had rings in it. You put rod poles through, and only the Levites could carry it. It had to be carried by Levites, by the house of Aaron. Come on. The Levitical priesthood had to bring it in. And as much as David wanted to do something good for God, he didn't want to do it. He didn't do it God's way. Now, he was ignorant, but ignorance really is no excuse. You jump off a roof, you hit ground, that's called gravity. It doesn't matter whether you understand gravity or not. It just works. It works whether you understand it or not. So I think in a lot of cases, maybe we've failed. Maybe we've lost some things in life, and maybe we're pointing that bony finger at the wrong person. Maybe we need to dig in here a little deeper. Maybe we need to look at ourselves and look at our lives and say, am I doing this right? Maybe you are doing it right. Maybe it was just an attack of the devil. Well, hey, just submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Don't stop. Go dig another well. Amen? But don't let failure in ministry stop you from preaching. Don't let failure in witnessing, because you witnessed somebody and they got mad at you and called you a dirty name. Hey, everybody's not going to get saved. I can tell you that right now. But don't stop witnessing because somebody gave you a bad day. Maybe your football team lost, so you're having a bad day. The commercial said, you know, so you had a bad day. Get back up. Get back up. Get back up on your feet. Amen. Get back up and believe God and stand on the word and do the right thing. Now see, in this case, thank God. Thank God David decided to do the right thing. Now, it took him 2 chapters. It doesn't have to be 2 chapters of your life to get right. It took him 3 months. It didn't take him 3 months. It shouldn't take you 3 months, excuse me, to get right. David was angry and he was fearful, but he had the wrong kind of fear. He had no reason to be afraid of God. God wanted the ark in Jerusalem, but he wanted it done his way. You out there? Maybe we need to examine the way we're doing things. Maybe what we're doing for God, good thing, good heart, maybe it's scriptural, biblical in the sense that what we're trying to achieve is right, but maybe we're not doing it the right way. That's just as important. God's very concerned about the means and the end. We live in an age where the end justifies the means. It doesn't matter how you do what you do, as long as you get to this end. It doesn't matter who you step on or what you have to do to achieve this goal. But God's very interested in the ways we achieve goals, the means and the ends. He wants us to do it in faith. He wants us to keep our integrity. He wants us to be true and holy, all these kinds of things. And God is a certain thing. Therefore, there are certain things about God that he's not. Certain things about God are true. Therefore, certain things about God are not true. So everything you can say about God can't be true, because some things are true and some things are not. He is a particular thing. He's holy, so he's not evil. He sent his son to die for your sin if you go to heaven, so you can't go there through Muhammad, and you couldn't make it through Buddha. As much as you'd want to go to God and love God, you have to go his way. Isn't that true? We know that concerning salvation. Maybe you're desiring something that you're praying about and believing for. Well, you need to get in the Word and find out what God says. Maybe just you're believing for it, it's a good thing. You're praying for it, it's a good thing. But maybe you're not basing it on the Word. Maybe you're just believing for it because you want it, not necessarily because God promises it. You know, I mean, we just have to examine ourselves and look at ourselves. David found out what was wrong, and he corrected the mistake. But thank God he didn't quit, and he didn't give up. He was afraid to bring the ark in at first, but then I guess he got to praying, and David was a man of prayer. And he got to worshiping. He was a man of worship. And you know what? He got to looking at the commandments, and he found out what he's supposed to do. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 15. We'll wrap this up. I want to help you. Don't you get defeated. Don't you give up. Amen. You hang in there. You keep believing. Maybe you've done the right thing seemingly to you and failed and lost it. Could have been the devil. Could be you didn't do exactly right. Don't quit. You keep going for it. I'll tell you, it's right to stay married. It's right to serve God. It's right to believe God. It's right to prosper. It's right to prosper. Because you can do more with than you can without in helping people. You can help more people when you have something than you can when you don't have anything. So let God prosper you. Believe for prosperity. Let's don't abuse it. I think sometimes we have. Maybe we've had the wrong motive. But prosperity's right. Hello? It's right. It's biblical. We just want to make sure we do it right. Healing's right. Joy is right. It's right. Peace is right. Faith is right. It's all right. It's right. Praise God. I just got to examine myself and make sure I'm going the right way to get it and for the right reasons to get it. But it's right. Health is right. Love it. Love health. All about health. Love health. For health. Health is a blessing. Are you out there? But I don't blame God for sickness when it comes. I don't blame God for challenges like that when they come. That'd be wrong to do that. God's the healer. He's not the Lord that maketh thee sick. He's the Lord God that healeth thee. Woo. Okay. 1 Chronicles 15. Found it? Let's wrap this up. 1 Chronicles 15. In the, let's start in the first verse. David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites." Hey, we learned something here. "For the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and minister before him forever." And David gathered all the Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for them. And he lists all the children of Aaron and the Levites, the sons of Kohath, Merari, and Gershom, and Elazaphan, and sons of Hebron and Uzziel. And 11th verse, "And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shimei, Eliel, and Aminadab." Y'all got that? Okay. I love all those Hebrew names, you know. Why didn't they just, why wasn't it John and Jack and George and Henry and Fred and Tommy and Mo and Michael? Come on. Could have been. 12th verse, listen to this closely. "He said to them, 'You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. Because you did not do it the first time, in other words, I had other people, not God's designated people, not the Levites. You know, you see that even in ministry. You know what Saul's problem was? The king, Saul, he tried to be the priest. You remember when Samuel was supposed to meet him and they were going to sacrifice? He had that great battle, you know. He tried to push himself into a ministry God didn't call him to. And although he did the right thing in the sense of he had a sacrifice, and sacrifice is good. He sacrificed, but Samuel showed up a little late and he says, "What is in the world's going on here?" And of course, Saul in his traditional Saulish way. So Saulish, I guess. You know, he said, "Well, the people pressured me. They wanted to sacrifice. You were running late, so I went ahead and sacrificed." Well, that wasn't his job, sacrifice. That was Samuel's job. Hello. And sometimes we try to intrude on positions we're not supposed to be in. Try to make things happen when God didn't call us to that. He called us to something else. Ought to assist those that are supposed to do that. And then they'll assist you do what you do. Amen. What we're trying to achieve is a good thing. We just got to do it the right way. This better preaching, y'all already meant it. So he said to them, 13th verse, "For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order." Wow. See, that's why when you hear the word and you go, God wants this in your life. God's promised this in your life. Well, hey, that's good. Okay, we know that. And let's get down. Let's figure out how we're supposed to do that. Let's get in the Bible. Let's find out what we're supposed to do. God wants to prosper us. Well, there's tithes. There's offerings. You know, well, come on. There's ways to prosper. Isn't that right? I mean, you can't just say, "I just believe God for prosperity. I'm just going to stand on a word for prosperity." Well, there are things that lead to that. I'm going to have a good marriage. I confess a good marriage over my wife. Confess a good marriage over my husband. Confess a good marriage. Well, okay. What are you doing to make that happen? Are you following the instructions about, do you love your wife with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength? Do you esteem her higher than yourself? Do you love her like your own flesh? Do you, I mean, come on, are you doing the things that bring that to pass. Now, sometimes those things don't work out. The goal was good, but sometimes we didn't do it properly, like he says. We didn't do it properly. In Isaac's case, it was just an attack of the devil. In David's case, he just didn't do it just right. But in both cases, they didn't quit. David got right after 3 months and decided, you know what, I'm going back to the drawing board. This is not right. The ark should be here. I messed up somewhere. We're going to get this straight. Don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on the promises of God. Don't you give up on believing God and trusting God just because you've had some defeats and you've had some failures and things have gone wrong. Listen, hey, that's just life. This world is messed up. And you and I are not perfect. We're on a learning process here. We're growing. Sometimes we trip. Sometimes we slip. You out there? But God's not at fault. In fact, it goes on here. This is good stuff. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah. It's good preaching. Love it. Love it. So glad I came tonight. I needed this. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. I just love that. I think that's great. You need to consult God about the proper. Okay, God, I've got a goal and a dream and a vision. Your promise says thus and so. Now, what is the proper order? What do you want me to do to work with you to make this happen? Because it's not just going to fall out of heaven. God works with us. He flows through us. So ask yourself and ask God. Inquire of the Lord. Get in his word. Dig deep. Dig down deep. Dig. They dug, man. They dug to get down to that water. It didn't just come up. They had to dig for it. We're going to have to dig in the word to get the victory. We're going to have to dig up the victory. Sometimes we lose the victory because we hadn't dug deep enough. Amen? Sometimes the devil just stole. Sometimes it's our fault. So the priests, 14th verse, and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles as Moses had commanded according to the word of God. You know how you ought to have church? According to the word of God. Now, I'm all for making church, you know, amenable, as it were, to people coming in where they can get saved and they get healed. But I tell you, our main objective in church, of course, is to make it comfortable for the Holy Spirit to move. We don't compromise church. And often here, and I understand where people are going. Don't get me wrong. I believe they have a right heart and they're trying to do the right thing. And they're not bad. A lot of good stuff they're doing in trying to reach people. Generations change. Music changes. Dress changes. I understand. The message doesn't change. But sometimes you hear advertisements in churches for people who hate church. Come to church for people who hate church. If you don't like church, come to our church. I think it sends the wrong message. I really do, because church should be church. You know, it will be church. And maybe you don't like a old-fashioned church. Maybe you don't like redneck church. I understand that, but church is church. Amen. I think you ought to walk in a church and sense the presence of God. You ought to walk in church, there ought to be worship. I think you ought to walk in there, ought to be prayer. I think you ought to walk in church, ought to be the word, ought to be conviction, there ought to be joy. Yeah, sure, I believe that. Amen. It's not about ties and suits and all. I understand that. We can get pharisaical and legalistic, and you getting people in church didn't get them saved. Get them to Jesus saves them. Church is about Jesus, but church is a vehicle. Church is a means to an end, and church can be done right. And I believe they did it right in the Bible. Are you with me? And so all this was going on. I think it's so cool. They had these rules, you know. And it says in the all the way down here. This is where David got wild. Really pretty cool. And the children, 15th verse, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles as Moses had commanded according to the word of God. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers. See, now he sang and had instruments and everything before, but see, there were people that were set aside according to the law that should do that. There were Levites that actually did the instruments. And he set aside singers accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, cymbals, by raising the voice with a resounding joy. And then he lists and breaks down these Levites, the 19th verse, the singers. He-Man. You know He-Man, a cartoon? No, he was a singer. In the Old Testament. He was anointed by God to sing. That's what he was. And then he lists, as you go on down, those with stringed instruments in the 20th verse, those with harps in the 21st verse. He had those that were in charge of the music that were skillful in the 22nd verse. Everybody had their place. There were doorkeepers to the ark. And see, there was a proper order. There's a proper way to do this. And then he put it all together, and of course God blessed it. And that's where David danced before the Lord, and his wife got all upset because he was so abandoned, reckless, abandoned worshiping the Lord. Told her, he said, I'll be yet more vile. You think that's vile? He said, for the Lord, I'll give it all my all. I'll just give it all to God. But it's an awesome story of repentance, and it's an awesome story of getting it right. And it's an awesome story of trying to do the right thing the wrong way. And not giving up because you failed at it. Tell Osborne, I told that story over and over. Went to India, preached in crusades over there, fell flat on his face. Came back home, got in the Word, prayed, sought God's face, and found out where he missed it. He'd seen Jesus rise out of the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but he never saw himself rise up out of there. He never saw the power of God on him personally. It never was that person, never made that connection, but when he saw that and he made that connection, he went back to India and he took it by storm. Hallelujah. But thank God he didn't quit. Don't you quit either. Maybe you've had some failures in ministry. I don't know. Marriage, I don't know. Finance, I don't know. But don't you quit. Just get back to the book. Find the proper order. Let's get it straight and let's dig us another well. Amen? Amen?